May it please the court. Thank you, Your Honor. The public works project in this case calls for the complete renovation and painting of the interior and exterior of a water tower and tank. Yet, according to utility services, this could never be subject to prevailing wages. And how do they reach this result? A misapplication of the Prevailing Wage Act. Their argument is that it requires a change or increase in the size, type, or extent of the existing facilities in order for the Prevailing Wage Act to apply. Not only is this an incorrect interpretation of the Act, but it also would result in massive public works projects like the one next door, Broadway building renovation, as well as the Paseo Bridge and others, not being subject to prevailing wages. This is an incorrect interpretation and should be rejected by this court.
Now, how much deference do we give to the administrative agency, the Industrial Relations Commission, in making determination, even with the overlay that it's supposed to be read in favor of the worker?
How much deference? Because it's a legal issue, it's subject to de novo review. So I'm not aware that there's a level of deference that's given, although they have the expertise in interpreting this, and certainly with respect to rules and regulations would require some deference as well.
Because the definitions of construction, it starts off with construction is construction or reconstruction.
Along with a lot of other things, including...
Right. But then each definition of repair and maintenance, one says repair, another one says repair. It is a we give great deference to legislation, but there is a certain amount of interpretation that's incumbent. When I drove into the parking lot, and there's a cherry picker up there, and my law clerk and I said, "Is he constructing or is he maintaining?" I don't know.
Good question. I don't have the facts before me on that one, so I can't really answer.
No,
that.
I don't either. It's totally outside the record.
But counsel,
he was touch pointing instead of painting because it's bricks.
Oh, okay.
That helps. My principal enjoyed the new portico off my office.
The construction definition includes painting, and that's part of the issue here.
As a separate
right,
category.
Right. Now, I realize that if you're building a new facility and you're painting, that's construction. Is it logical to you that if, there was argument about, was it one brush? How much painting? Is it repainting? What if you're just fixing, we had a new light fixture put in our house and they had to repaint over that little bit of area where they took the new light fixture off from? Is that construction? Does that small amount of repair, I would call it,
because
under this definition, construction?
Because painting is a separate category in and of itself. It would be covered generally, and if we're broadly construing it, virtually all painting would be covered. Now, there will be a point at which touch-up paint or something like what you just described, you've got a whole little hole in the wall from a picture or something like that was hanged. You know, touch-up paint to do that would be repair. We're not taking the position that would not be a minor repair. But painting, as we generally understand it to be, whether it's painting a wall or a room or in this case, an entire water tower and an entire water tank inside and out, clearly falls within the provisions of the...
What about the ladder?
What's that?
The ladder, so that the kids can't climb up the ladder and kill themselves in the water tower or something. What about putting up the new ladder that's going to be... so people can't climb on it.
Anti-climb device.
The anti-climb device. That would constitute painting. There would be, as I said, there would be a point at which it would be so small, so...
You're saying de minimis is the only...
Yeah, it would be so de minimis, you know, such a small piece of something that it really would be just touch-up. And it wouldn't fall into what we understand to be painting, which is getting the rollers out and getting the paintbrush out and doing the...
If I understand your argument, it's because painting is specifically listed as a separate category.
Yes.
Otherwise, absent that, is it your argument you'd look at major repair versus other repair kinds of things?
That's right. If it were not specifically listed, we'd have a different situation. Does it then qualify under separate category? But here it's specifically listed, as is major repair, and which gets us to Judge Tileman. You mentioned regulations and the department. They made an attempt to try to define the issue here, because we do have repair or major repair in the definition of construction, and we have repair as the exclusion. they passed a rule, promulgated a rule that's saying if it is more than 20%, then it's major repair. Unfortunately, that was rejected by the Southern District. And therein began the problem that brings us here today. In their interpretation, the Southern District's interpretation of city utilities, they concluded that if it doesn't change or increase the size or type or extent of an existing facility, then it's not subject to the Prevailing Wage Act.
Does the statute authorize the agency to come up with some regulations that have the force of law?
Yes, it does.
But opposing counsel says that maintenance is its own category, and even if things would otherwise fit within the definition of construction, major repair, painting, and so forth, it is maintenance if it falls within the definition of maintenance, which is anything that does not expand the size and
well, and with the problem with that interpretation that the Southern District applied, as well as the courts here, is that it takes what is effectively a limitation on an exclusion and makes it the controlling rule. In truth, the Prevailing Wage Act excludes repairs. And repairs, a limitation on that is that it can't be a repair that is a replacement, and it also can't be a repair that increases the size, type, or extent of the existing facilities. So that repair is then cut down even smaller, effectively, clearly making it a minor repair, if you will, because major repair is covered by the Act. So it can't be a major repair. It also can't be a repair that constitutes a replacement. It also can't be a repair that increases the chain or increases or changes the size, type, or extent of the existing facilities, thus making it truly a minor repair.
You cite the Bross case as saying that work done in preparation can be considered construction. But in the Bross case, they were talking about building a new highway, so it wasn't an existing facility. It was a new facility. In this case, we clearly have an existing facility, the storage tank. Mm-hmm. So isn't that distinguishable? So can preparation, as in the facts in this case, still be considered construction?
Yes, preparation work can still be considered construction work.
Under what authority?
I would say under that authority, not because it doesn't the statute doesn't distinguish between preparation work and non-preparation work. The statute looks at what is the public works project. So if it's part of the greater project, whether it's in preparation for it, and here. The only thing that we have that would be conceivably preparation work would be the inspection of it, or maybe the cleaning and preparation for the painting, something like that. And in fact, in the letter that the department issued to Utility Service indicated, we're not going to consider the inspection part of the construction. We'll exclude that for purposes of prevailing wages. So the department had said that they would exclude that. But generally speaking, if it is part of the overall construction constructed project or the public works project, what we don't do is start segmenting out. All right, let's divide up this contract or let's divide up this project. It looks like this piece, if we separated it completely, would be a minor repair. It looks like this piece, if we separated it completely, we look at the entirety. Is it a public works project that is construction? That is, and the broad definition of construction.
Except for the concept of painting. Because what you're telling us is, if we're looking at the context of the big project, still, even if it would be a minor repair type project, painting would be covered.
If that's
unless
right.
Unless it was a de minimis amount.
Yeah, unless it was a de minimis amount. Now, if a part of the project, let's take that example. If the part of the project is a complete repainting. Of the, let's say, a complete repainting of the Supreme Court building. And part of the entirety of the project was, we're going to go in and replace a door or fix this. But that's part of the overall project. Because it's required for the painting or it's required for that project, it would be part, and it would be subject to prevailing wages, even if it were separated from that de minimis minor repair, something like that. Where the trial court and the Court of Appeals went wrong is that they started to apply something that is, as I said, effectively a limitation on an exclusion under the Act.
If we look at what extent do the contracting parties define it? For example, this is a construction project. Well, you might say, well, no, no, it's a maintenance project. We don't want to pay the prevailing wage. But if the parties all think of it as a construction project with sort of de minimis things like a painting or a tuck pointing or something included, to what extent do they define
The parties should not be able to control whether or not it is a public works project or whether or not it is subject to prevailing wages. But their agreement is certainly evidence of what is the public works project. Certainly, looking at the contract is good evidence of what is the project. But it shouldn't control. In other words, we can't allow the parties to say, we're going to make this a maintenance contract. We're going to make, which is what they did here, we're going to call this a maintenance project, therefore trying to get ourselves within the Prevailing Wage Act. That should not control whether or not it is subject to prevailing wages. Instead, it would be evidence. It would be evidence, certainly, of what is the overall project. Now, if we try to do it the other way, certainly we would see derogation of the purpose of the Prevailing Wage Act, and they would start splicing up the project, you know, doing it in separate contracts and trying to make it, and that certainly wouldn't be consistent with the Prevailing Wage Act. Looking at the exclusion here, it is intended to be narrowly construed. That is because it's a remedial provision, that exclusion is intended to be narrowly construed. Nowhere does it say in the exclusion, nowhere does it say in the broader construction that it requires an increase or change in the size, type, or extent of existing facilities in order for the Prevailing Wage Act to apply. And in fact, certainly that would not be the case in at least two of the examples under construction, one of them being painting and another one being major repair. There may be examples in which a major repair occurs, which in this case we've got a project that calls for $115,000, and in and of itself maybe that's not sufficient, but almost 25% of the value of a brand new tower and tank is this construction project. That is under any circumstances.
Council says they did not concede that's what it would cost. That was the total cost of the project, and that it was 25%.
They did. They stipulated to that and agreed to it. And whether they did or not, the contract says the contract itself says $115,000 in the first year alone. Now, maybe we want to construe that the I see my time is out. They did stipulate, and the court took into evidence what would be the cost of a brand new facility. It was approximately $470,000, which would make this 25% of the overall cost. See my.
May it please the court. I thought I would begin where Judge Teitelman began, with the sort of what may appear to be circular phraseology in the prevailing wage law. And we said this in our brief, but I think it's very important to go back to the discussion of construction in the prevailing wage law, because it's not defined in the prevailing wage law. It's extremely important. When you go to the definition section, of course, definition is added by the is not part of, that's a title, it's not part of the statute. It begins by saying construction includes construction. Well, obviously. It doesn't say construction means construction, doesn't need to. Of course, construction means construction. But construction includes construction. It also is going to include painting. You see, if we just said construction, it wouldn't include painting. By the way, this is not an original thought. I commend to you the Attorney General's opinion we cited in our brief by Attorney General Danforth, back when Attorneys General actually wrote long, flowery opinions discussing fine points of law. And Attorney General Danforth made this point, that the term construction means to build something, to put together component parts. So construction, if they just said construction, would not necessarily include painting. It would not necessarily include decoration. So what you might have is somebody builds a building, and they pay prevailing wage for the building of that building, but then they have somebody come in and paint it, and they don't pay prevailing wage.
If the court were to agree with your interpretation of the statute, why wouldn't it just say all new construction is covered, existing construction is only covered if you expand the size and scope and shape? I mean, why do we? It's not the way it's written.
Well,
it says
it's not
major repair. It says painting. It doesn't when saying those distinguish between existing right. versus new buildings.
If I follow what you're saying, that phraseology would not cover painting. Because construction, again, if you look at the dictionary definitions, you look at Black's Law on construction.
But that first, what that definition of construction, why doesn't it say for new buildings? And for existing buildings, all these things are covered only if they expand or alter the shape. So painting, by definition, is not covered on existing buildings. You don't get that from reading the statute.
Well, you don't, because the wording is a little circular. But I think when you think through it, and I, like I said, this Attorney General's opinion actually goes through it in pretty excruciating detail, because they're trying to figure out, what if we put on a new garage door? Or wait a minute, what if we install air conditioning? It was 1970, so they were actually putting air conditioning systems into it, into new buildings.
So instead of saying painting, but not painting of existing buildings, it used this rather indirect method of saying we don't mean painting?
Well, I think what happens is, this is my guess, I mean, discerning legislative intent, it's like discerning voter intent, right? I have no idea, but this is how I see it. We're going to pay prevailing wage for construction, and we know what that is. There's a dictionary definition of a plain meaning. We're also going to pay for painting. But sometimes painting is just maintenance. Sometimes alter.
No, but actually, you're saying painting would always be maintenance. If it's not new, because painting never expands the size of something. So it would never.
That's right.
It never would be covered.
Well, except that in the definition of construction, they say construction includes painting.
If it's a new building, would painting be covered? And apparently, major repair is not covered. A new building can't be repaired, and an old building repairs usually would not expand it. That would be an expansion. So I'm really unclear when that would be covered.
Well, and I think that's the point I'm trying to make, maybe not very articulately, is that they added painting to construction on purpose. They had to. But then they say, exclusive of maintenance. And this is in the policy statement. It's not something tucked down in the bottom that says, but maybe there's, you know, maintenance doesn't count, or we got to talk about maintenance. In the policy of the state of Missouri, prevailing wage shall be paid for construction exclusive of maintenance. So you've got construction, and then they expand it out to include painting, and then they carve out a pie for maintenance. So you might have painting that's construction painting when you're doing a new building, or when you're assembling parts together to build a portion of a building, or you might have painting that's maintenance. To me, this is not really a crazy concept.
When is major repair covered?
When is major? That's a great question. And it gets back to what Judge Tuttleman was asking about the rules and regulations. The department has the authority to promulgate rules and regulations and to define these things and give us, to borrow a phrase from your last case, the bright line test. And the department chose to do that in the City Utilities case, which, incidentally, I argued 15 years ago and lost at the Southern District Court of Appeals. This case refused to accept transfer on that particular decision and said that the department had gone too far in its rule. But if the department wants to tell us what major repair is, they can define it. They've got rulemaking authority. Incidentally, the Western District, in a footnote in the long Ready Mix case, Judge Newton says that I think that footnote, a fair reading, is he said he thinks the Southern District got that right about that rule and what major repair is.
Under your definition of maintenance, when would major repair ever be covered?
The Southern District squarely addressed it in City Utilities. I'm not sure if they got it right, but I think that is an easy answer, which is that if it changes the size, nature, extent of the building.
But a repair, by definition, would not be.
It would be.
It's fixing what's already there.
You're fixing what's already there without changing the size, nature, extent. And here is when I think a great example of major repair.
I mean, because it has alteration and other kinds of definitions besides major repair. I'm trying to.
Yes, ma'am.
The
department could promulgate a rule to tell us. They didn't, so it's a fact question.
No, I understand. Yeah, I'm just saying, can you give me a fact situation where you'd have a repair that wasn't an expansion or remodeling?
I absolutely can, and it's the Dodson or the Carver versus Pemiscot County case in which this case accepted transfer but then was settled. Dodson versus Pemiscot County, the Southern District actually reached this issue of what is a facility, which I'm not sure anybody has reached specifically, and that was a pretty major issue, and it's probably still a major issue in this state. Fortunately, in this case, we have a fact agreement about what the facility was. But Dodson was a nursing home that then went dormant, and it sat there for 2 years being used as a storage facility. And it was no longer being used as a nursing home. It was a storage facility. And they came in and they said, we're going to repair the nursing home, even though it wasn't anymore. They went in and they took out the curtains and they built walls. And they built, expanded an emergency room. And they changed the nature of the facility, is what they did. They repaired it, for sure. But they changed it from a storage facility into something that was different now, that could be used for different purposes. So I think in that case, I don't know where this court was going, but I think there's a legitimate issue there about whether that went into the issue of what is a major repair. Absent a bright line articulation from the department in its own regulations as to what should be considered a major repair, you have a fact question. And I don't know how you resolve it other than the way we did in this case, which is to file cross motions for summary judgment. Everyone agreed there was no fact dispute here. And to submit for the record, this is what the project was, this is what changes it made, and the court's going to have to determine as a fact question whether this was major or not. The department gives you in its brief this issue of is a repair, is it something that's routine that you do kind of on a daily basis?
It's a mixed fact and law decision, not a strictly law decision, because what's repair versus not repair.
Right.
It does depend on the trier of fact.
Certainly. But to determine whether it changes the size, nature, extent of the facility, even if you adopt the state's definition, which is it's got to be major, it's got to be huge, it's got to be important, you're going to have a fact question about that. And I want to go back to Dotson-Carver. So Dotson-Carver, some people call it Carver, some call it Dotson. I never know what we're going to call it. But in that case, read the contract that is in the record here. It's a two-page contract. It's a care and maintenance contract. We'll inspect regularly. When we need changes, we'll make changes. That's a lot different than, okay, facility's been dormant for 2 years. Get a bunch of people in here. We're going to redo everything. When you go through the fact scenario the Southern District laid out, they redid the floors, they redid the walls, they redid the roof.
But it didn't expand it, right?
It changed the nature of it. It arguably did expand it, depending on your definition of facility.
What's the difference between whether you pay the prevailing wage or whether you pay with the wage that was paid by these workers? How much money are we talking about?
I didn't hear the end.
How much money is this case worth?
This case?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I assume this would be laborers' work, but I could be wrong. If it's pressurized pipe, Your Honor probably knows better than I do. It's going to determine on the occupational title of the workers involved, because we have no determination here. I could not even give
but
you a guess.
But the total cost of it is like $115,000, right?
Well, it's spread out over time. You can read that. And let me just say, we stipulated that the department was told, we stipulated that there was hearsay in the department's record that some other facility in another part of the state 3-4 years ago cost however much. That's what we stipulated to. Nobody put into the record how much this would cost. And by the way, I don't think it's relevant. Judge Callahan seemed to think it was relevant. I couldn't convince him otherwise. So after the briefing was done, he wanted that information.
I was just wondering at what point this was about money or really just about the principle of the thing. And
well,
it's about money. But
you know, it is in the record it is in the record, Your Honor, that my client has several of these contracts. There are more than 100, I believe, of these virtually identical contracts with
to
cities
reconstruct or repair, depending on who's definitely
or maintain
these water towers.
And I want to make sure I appreciate what Mr. Morgan's saying about the need for this court, and some of the amicus sort of beg this court to give us a bright line test. I would suggest that the department could give us the bright line test, and when it throws these things into the court system without a bright line test, the factual determinations that are made by the trial court are subject to the department knows that. And I should add, City Utilities told the department that when somebody submits an affidavit that says we didn't make any changes to the size of the facility, we didn't make any changes to that, you need to rebut that with another affidavit. It wouldn't have been that hard to do. The department chose not to rebut it. I don't know what Judge Callahan should have done in that situation. But
that affidavit presumes, or your argument based on the affidavit presumes that basically, unless they expanded the water tower, nothing could be covered. Because they're saying that's really not relevant if it's major repair, that's a category that's covered.
Judge, I think by saying expanding, you're limiting my argument a little bit. It is not my argument that we have to expand the size of something. That would do it.
Right.
But you could also change the type of the facility or the extent of the facility.
But with a water tower, how would that work? I mean, a water tower would never be covered unless you tore it down and built it again, I presume.
Well, I guess you could turn it into you could make it a different type of water tower somehow. And that's an important issue.
Turn it into a nursing home.
You could turn it into a nursing home. Storage facility. Absolutely. But let's make sure you understand what we're talking about. There was a stipulation as to what the facility was. You all know Judge Titleman drove by and saw a cherry picker. You've seen a water tower. It's a It's a big thing that holds water. There's really nothing else to it. The water's pumped in from somewhere else. There's a pump off-site somewhere that sends it up a pipe into
in
a water
Bourbon, tower. Missouri, it says bourbon on it.
Sometimes, and that needs painted a lot. They need maintenance on that. It holds the water. When everybody gets up and takes a shower in the morning, the water pressure drops, and you got to get that water out of there. Gravity allows that water to come out of the pipe and go into a chlorination system somewhere else. It's just a big tank. That's really all there is to it, which gets to this issue of what's the facility. I think the record's pretty clear that there was no factual dispute that is the facility. But there's nothing to change in there other than there's not a separate system. City Utilities, they were talking about whether the piping was its own separate system.
And that's why it's obvious fact-finding because, for example, another example, very simplistic, we had some kind of wall at this court. It may have been a repair problem at one point, but then the wall disintegrated, and then it became a construction problem.
It became the same wall,
but somehow repair might have been maintenance, and the other was that when it disintegrated, it became a construction problem.
And Your Honor's right. There are fact issues always, and so I just want to make sure that as we discuss these big, broad topics, which are very important and appropriate for this court, of course, to weigh in on and give guidance, that we look at the contract in this case, which is in the legal file, which was before the trial court. It's a two-page contract entitled Water Tank Maintenance Contract, and it talks about the care and maintenance. And it says that my client will inspect the water tower. They'll drain the water out to look at it. They'll repair it to maintain it as needed, and it may include several different things. It says they'll clean it. It does say they'll repaint it when it needs repainting. And it does talk about, you know, installing a piece of mesh, an anti-climb device, piece of mesh to keep kids from falling in, putting a padlock on it. But if you read it, hundreds and hundreds of these contracts with cities all over the state, it's a routine maintenance contract. They don't have people to go up there and.
But the legislature chose to put that word painting in there, a very all-inclusive word, and
right.
You know, whether that was a good or bad choice is not really before us today.
Yeah, I think that the legislature's intent is not to cover painting always and forever,
is what the brief says. They didn't actually write this one, though, right? We have to go by what was meant when it was written.
Well, I don't know. They might get a chance to rewrite
it, but
I don't think that was the legislative intent, and I think the Attorney General's opinion explains it nicely. They included painting because it would not otherwise be covered unless they said that.
Do you agree with Mr. Morgan's assessment that the nature of the project that we look at, the overall nature of the project as opposed to the components that we wouldn't find that painting, that we're looking at whether this is a painting project versus a repair project, and not dividing it out by this aspect of it would be painting, this aspect would be repair?
I'm not sure, because I'm not sure if I understand his position quite that way. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
And so you're saying that you don't think that's the position that the department has taken?
Do you look at each part and say one part might be prevailing wage and some other part not, or do you look at the project overall and it either is or is not a prevailing wage project?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. I think the statute requires us to look at the project. Is it a construction project or is it excluded maintenance? And I'm kind of out of time, but Chester Bross, I think, is the right answer. Because in Chester, you're talking about, as I read the facts there, you're talking about people that were maintaining the bulldozers at the project. Well, I don't see that anywhere in the definition of construction, but they said we're building a new highway, for goodness sake. There wasn't one there before, and so all the people who are involved in that project are covered by the prevailing wage, no matter what they're doing. And I think that's why you start with, is it construction or is it maintenance? I think that's the appropriate place to start.
Are there any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The problem in this case is that the test is wrong that is being used. The courts are using a test that says it has to increase the size, type, and extent of the existing facilities. That's just simply the wrong test. It's not required by the statute. If you look in what is covered under the statute, it says nothing about, nowhere in the construction piece, what is covered? Does it say it has to be increase the size, type, or extent of the existing facilities? And it, in fact, it doesn't make sense because major repairs could be accomplished without that. Painting can be accomplished without that. And I think as we go through reconstruction, improvement, alteration, painting, all of those could be accomplished without.
Does that lead to the absurd result, though, of the questions where if you repair a nail hole with paint that you need to, can't do it, you have to hire someone under prevailing wage?
No, I don't think it. Produces the absurd result. I think there is a point at which it's no longer painting as we understand painting to be. It's just touch-up work that's done or filling in a hole. That's not necessarily painting as we think of painting, like painting an entire room, getting the paintbrush out, and all that sort of thing. Nowhere does it say that it's required. Pardon me. Also, nowhere does it say it has to be new construction. And in fact, as we look at
it says construction or reconstruction.
Yeah, reconstruction, major repair. Many of these terms include things that would be existing facilities. So it doesn't require us to go through some sort of mental gymnastics to suggest, well, obviously they meant, or maybe they meant construction to mean only new construction. It doesn't say that. And if we are to broadly construe the Prevailing Wage Act in a way that supports the payment of prevailing wages to as much as possible, as much as covered by the statute, that would be inconsistent with that purpose of the statute.
For example, Highway 40 was built by I.E. Millstone. It was constructed by I.E. Millstone, but the new $100 million reconstruction would be considered construction, I assume.
Yeah. And the examples I've given is, you know, the Broadway building, which is millions of dollars in a public works project. But under the interpretation that's being utilized by utility service and which was adopted by the court, that would never be subject to prevailing wages. And in fact, it is actually being paid prevailing wages. Mm-hmm. But under their theory, under their argument, it wouldn't be. And that's the problem in this case. Not necessarily just this one individual water tower and tank. It's this test that's being utilized. The Pennsylvania courts have struggled with this also, and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court made clear the same kind of concept. If that were true, that it required the increase in the size, type, or extent of an existing facility, then major repair would never be that. That was in the Borough of Youngwood case cited in our brief. Your Honors, my time is up, but we request that this court reverse the trial court and find in favor of the department and hold that there is prevailing wages in this case. Thank you.
Case is taken under submission. The court